I'm here in Clondalkin and I'm talking to Captain Philip Brunkard about your, I suppose, about your business and your association with the mills, the Clondalkin paper mills. Tell me now, after your education, you set up your own business. Can you tell me a little bit about that business and how it all came about?
That business was project engineering, which consisted of design and install of papermaking equipment, concrete plants and meat plants in the Dublin area.
How difficult was it to set up a company back in the 1960s when you did?
All I can say is I was in the right place at the right time. And I was prepared to walk.
To acquire the knowledge and the background, where did you work first before this company was set up?
I worked for a company called Hubbard Brothers, who were millwrights and engineers. And I went in there as an apprentice at the age of 18. And after a while, I was promoted draftsman. It was a substantial company. And after that, I was promoted works manager. And one of my major clients was the Clondalkin Paper Mills, where I used to deal with the maintenance superintendent. His name was Bernard Fitzpatrick. And this day, he told me that Dr. Cusick wanted to have a word with me. And I didn't pay much heed to it. But anyway, he sourced me down and he said, "Do you want a job?" And I said, what sort of arrangement? I'm trying to study engineering at night in Bolton Street. So we come to an arrangement that I'd be a junior engineer. And there was an arrangement then at that time for training engineers, where there was a day release to attend the College of Technology in Bolton Street, 2 days a week plus 5 nights, and which I accepted. But I did have to work Saturdays in the paper mills. And we got on extremely well, and I was involved in a lot of projects. There was the acquisition of Jimna Paper Mills, the construction of the pulp plant, and acquisition of Swiftbrook Paper Mills. When I did qualify, I got a fellowship to work in Switzerland on the American industry. Unfortunately, I had a skiing accident there and I had to come home. And I went lecturing then, and I had a couple of other jobs and things like that. And I did subsequently joined the Irish Army, and they were looking for engineers to travel to the Congo and Cyprus. And I was successful of getting a commission. And I served on an overseas mission as contingent engineer. On my return, Dr. Cusick was looking for me, and I went to see him. And he told me what he had in the back of his mind. He wanted a company to do the project engineering into paper mills. And I set up the company. And I had other customers as well at this stage that had heard about what I was doing. And there was Roadstone, it was Clondalkin Concrete, Roadstone, a lot of meat companies, CV Packaging. So it from there, it went from strength to strength, and we were working extremely well at it. And that was heavy engineering. But unfortunately, the heavy engineering closed down.
When you say the heavy engineering, what do you mean?
mill right, big steam boilers and turbines and things like that. The paper mills had their own power plant, their own generators, and they had.
So the other stuff was dated, really, was it? The heavy engineering, as you say.
Yes, the boiler plant was dated. It was a great fed boiler, like a local boiler, but they put in these what we call water boilers, high pressure steam, and it was the high pressure steam was passed through a turbine to reduce the pressure and to reduce the energy levels. Paper making, when you have to dry the paper, it needs a lot of steam, and the rotating cylinders use a lot of steam, and that was the process. The steam process generated steam at a high pressure, reduced through turbines, passed it through their cylinders, dried the paper. But there was a lot of other things there that the drives had to be modernised. There was a system of belts and pulleys and things like that. And we were involved in the what's called the Ward-Leonard system. The drives were electric drives. The pulp plant, native timber, was brought in, and it was ground to make pulp. And the motors on those were 500 or 600 horsepower, and were high tension motors. And that process worked extremely well, and they used the pulp themselves, but they exported the pulp, and some of it was given to C.B. Paction, who was their neighbour, for the manufacture of paper sacks.
Yes.
For cement and for sugar and that sort of thing.
Right, but and this was all pre-plastic time still, you know, it was...
Oh, it was very much so, yes, yeah.
When so your interest or your time as you would have seen Saggart, the Saggart mills, were you doing anything for them at the time?
Yes, we were doing a lot of the pulp lines were constructed in copper, and we evolved a new process of using stainless steel, which we imported from Sweden. The copper was made by millers in Church Street in Dublin, and was quite expensive with brass flanges. But this new process used cadmium-plated flanges and stainless steel piping. As you can understand, a lot of the paper-making machinery was dated. It was gear wheels and pulleys and V-belts and flat belts and all that sort of thing. But all the machinery, over a period of time, was upgraded. The stock lines, which is the pulp lines, was converted from copper to stainless steel.
That transition must have been very exciting, because, you know, you were leaving a world of where the say the older machinery, which had lasted a long time, you know, the almost from the steam age, you know, the...
Yeah, unfortunately, there was no health and safety in that place. And I recollect men, operatives, going down to grease pulleys and gears and all that sort of thing without any guards or anything like that.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to that machinery when it was replaced?
The machinery wasn't replaced. The drives were that's what where the engineering element come into. It was replaced. Pulleys and all that were gone with variable speed electric motors, drives and computers.
Okay, so a lot more power then was needed. Yeah,
yeah, and no, less power. There's no gear wheels chunking and clunking and belt sliding or anything like that. It was direct drive, and it was a button, and you just pressed the button, and you pull the lever, and you set up your speed, like the same as you do in a car, a six accelerator of a car.
But then
the, you see, there was the other thing is, there was in the paper mills, there was they call lubricant applicators, but they were actually greasers, you know. But they were replaced by this automatic lubrication system, and that was another project that you had to do, you know. Same as in a truck or a car now, you don't have to get under a car now to use the grease gun like that, you know. It's done automatic, you know.
But the skills of these men, which had, you know, worked these older machines, there was a learning curve there. I mean, did you have to train them into using the newer?
No, just evolved, you know. You have to understand paper making. As the paper dries, it shrinks. And each drive section would have, the speed would have to be adjusted to take up the tension in the paper. As it dried, as it naturally enough, it shrunk. And if you didn't, and these were really, really skilled persons with old flat belts and pulleys trying to keep the speed right, to be watching everything and everything else like that, you know. And even to feed, when I say feed machine, I mean, you have a paper make machine, and there's maybe 20 or 30 cylinders, and you have to get the paper through, and that was done by hand, and there was a lot of people. 5 points.
Losing fingers.
Oh, yeah, and arms, and everything else, you know what I mean? But that was all tidied up in the period that I was there. We got in all this automatic system of feeding the thing, yeah.